Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky accused Russia of planning to blow up a dam and hydroelectric plant in southern Ukraine. Russia has full control of the dam, but Ukrainian forces are closing in on it as part of its counteroffensive in the east and the south to reclaim territory. Facing battlefield losses, Russia has responded with missile and drone attacks targeting mostly critical infrastructure, including the power grid, which the German chancellor today says amounts to war crimes. The military game plan in Ukraine has echoes of Russia's brutal tactics in Syria's long civil war, supporting autocrat Bashar al-Assad. To talk about all this, we're joined by retired British Army Colonel Hamish de Breton Gordon, the former commanding officer of the UK's Chemical, Biological, Radiological and Nuclear Regiment. Colonel, thanks for joining us.
Pleasure.
So Vladimir Putin recently named a new commander of all Russian forces in Ukraine, General Sergei Sorovikin. He was previously in charge of Russian forces in Syria, where he got his nickname Armageddon. What have you seen of his tactics there, and what does that mean for Ukraine?
Well, I think it's not good news. I saw Sorovikin at very close quarters in Syria, particularly over the last 5 years. And he developed what I'm calling unconventional warfare. And the heart of unconventional warfare is attacking civilians in the hope that if you create as much terror amongst civilians, they will capitulate and force their government to sue for peace. And at the heart of attacking civilians is attacking hospitals, attacking schools, and we saw that only a week ago. You know, incredibly cynical when kids were on their way to school in the morning. That's when the Russians attacked. And the World Health Organization said over 500 hospitals and medical units have been attacked in the war so far. But as you mentioned, the head of this piece, also critically attacking infrastructure. Putin has said he wants to turn the lights out in Ukraine and turn the heat off as winter approaches. You've talked about the dam, and perhaps come back to that. The other thing to consider, and really in my area of expertise, is the nuclear power stations. 60% of the light, of the power in Ukraine, came from nuclear power stations. We know that he is already, he captured the biggest nuclear power station in Europe, Zaporizhia, at the beginning of the war, and has threatened the other ones. And that is a huge concern. And with General Sorovikin running it, who seems to have no morals or scruples and has no limit to the evil he wants to commit, it is a huge concern. And that's why myself and others have been really calling on NATO and others to step up the support to Ukraine people, because we must see them win and go forward. And we must try and protect as many civilian lives in Ukraine as possible.
Colonel, the war in Ukraine is heading into a critical period as winter, of course, approaches, when weather will hinder both of the armies. While Ukraine makes gains on the ground, Russia is attacking, you know, cities and civilians, as we've talked about, far away from these front lines. In your view, beyond the, you know, the obvious sort of moral and legal issues of targeting civilians and civilian infrastructure, does this tactic make any sense militarily and strategically to you?
Well, it makes absolutely no sense morally and is a war crime and against the rules of war. But basically, the Russian conventional forces have failed. You know, the third largest and assumed most powerful army in the world has been defeated almost completely by the Ukrainian military. Sure, the Ukrainian military have been supported by US intelligence and NATO intelligence and Western arms, and that has made the difference. But, you know, before I became a specialist in chem, bio and nuclear, I was a tank commander, and I've yet to see a Russian tank with any camouflage on it or a Russian soldier with any camouflage on it. And that is the sort of root of the problem. You know, the Russian military have performed so terribly badly, and the casualties, you know, it's very difficult to get an accurate figure, but it's probably plus of 50,000 dead Russian soldiers that are going home in body bags to Russia. And of course, the Russian people don't really know what's going on because the state controls the media. So this, you know, as to military advantage, for the Russians, it makes absolute sense. And it worked in Syria. You know, Assad is still in power 10 years after the conflict started. Because he used these unconventional tactics. And of course, the other thing that Assad used to great success in Syria were chemical weapons. Yeah. And Savarkhin and the Russians allowed them to use this. And I think this is something we need to watch very, very carefully, because in my opinion, and I was there on the ground in Syria, chemical weapons have kept Assad in power. Now, we know that Putin is losing. I sort of think he's prepared to go almost anywhere to stay in power, and chemical might be on his wish list.
Chemicals might be on his wish list. Certainly a scary thought. Former British Army Colonel Hamish de Breton Gordon. Colonel, thank you so much for your insights and your time.
Pleasure.